Hello everyone, my name is Lalit Popli and today we are going to cover IT compliance. So it's very difficult to say, but how does IT and compliance match together? Here you have IT, which is information technology, which is supposed to be free, gives you all the benefits, be very creative. And on the other hand, you have compliance, which restricts, which says you must meet some standards, follow some guidelines, rules, regulations and things like that. Well, this is exactly what we are going to discuss today. We are going to take you through a journey where we are going to discuss how technology has evolved over a period of time and why a need of compliance into technology has taken place. So we start this session with this. So a genesis, we are going to cover the advent of technology, the importance, although that is very commonly known. So we just cover some basics on the importance of technology. What are the challenges that are there in information technology? And in the end, we have some questions for you for your self-assessment. So let's begin our journey with the advent of technology. So what is technology? So technology is different for different people. For someone, it's information. For someone's technology is for the sake of being technical, for sake of doing technology. For someone, it helps in predictions and forecast. For example, in the good old days when you didn't have computers and things like that, to find out what happened 3 years back, you would have to open reams and reams of paper ledgers and come at a figure and then plan what are you going to do for next year and the year after that. And that's how business was run. But today, with the help of technology, you are able to do a trend line analysis, budgeting, forecasting, and therefore arrive at some prediction of what you're going to do in the business. Take corrective actions as the time goes by and move ahead. Third generation computers have come place. So there was a time when computers came into being. It was a huge, huge machine. So big that sometimes huge industrial complex were taken, dedicated for a single computer. And to do anything would take you hours and hours, sometimes even days to get things done. But now with integrated circuits being invented, a computer has become as small as this and even smaller. In fact, going forward, we also see computers becoming like a mobile, as small as that and working at that fast. So that's how the journey of computers took place. So you had mainframes, which I said took up huge space, generated huge heat, and it had to be managed. That's the word how geeks came into being. So people who would do that were really someone very different, difficult to identify, and therefore they were called geeks. From there, we moved into mini computers, which reduced some size, but still the basic premise was there. And then from there, we moved into microcomputers, which is what we use today. And now with Intel microprocessor, as I said, the computers have become as small as this, or even as we go ahead, it would be maybe as smaller as a mobile that we use today. So what is IT in various business sectors? So different sectors of business use IT in a different way. For example, in a hotel industry, they will use technology to do the client booking, room ordering, billing. So they cover that. While in a research firm, a technology would be used to save all the research documents, papers, processes, results, so that whenever they want, they can recover it and check into it. So from mainframe, we went into client-server technology, but today even client-server technology is outdated. It has nearly become extinct because we have moved into a web-based technology. Now, how did this web-based technology come into being? So it was started with defense sector is normally the first sector which tries to think 10 years, 15 years in advance what will happen. So American defense industry built up its own network to take care in case the normal networks or normal communications was hampered by the enemy, called the ARP ANET. And that ARP ANET is today the starting point of the web technology, which is TCP/IP. So from ARP ANET, which was used very selectively within the defense establishment in US, to universities, and then it went into internet. And therefore, TCP/IP standards came into play. Once the standard of TCP/IP came into play, the world opened up for technology, and today what we see an outcome of on-the-go data, on-the-go information is thanks to TCP/IP. LANs and WANs came into being. So So LANs is local area network, WANs is wide area network covering a lot. So as you can see from this figure, TCP is the means for which all the PCs communicate with each other. This is the standard, and therefore LANs and WANs were designed according to it. Now with LANs, WANs, TCP/IP being the standard, obviously it took the next level where emails became very common. So Hotmail was one of the first few email clients, and post that a lot of email clients have come into play. Today Gmail is one of the best used, Yahoo and things like that. Now with emails, after emails, chats became very important. So there were some chat rooms where you could chat. Today it has gone to next level where it is one-to-one, one-to-many, many-to-many chats that can take place. And then technology moved little beyond that. So you had voice over IP. So someone thought, if I can send data across over the network, which is over the IP, then why can't we send voice as a data? And therefore, voice over IP came into being. And then someone even said, went beyond that, said, why only voice? Why can't I send images? Why can't I send moving pictures? And therefore, video calls came into being. And today, we are at the area of what we call SMAC, which is social, mobile, analytics, and cloud. Social meaning the social network we use, like Facebook, LinkedIn, and things like that. Mobile, now everything is on the go. Our mobile phones has become kind of a computer for us. We use it to get all the information. On a click of a button, on just moving your thumbs, you could get information. Analytics, huge analytics. So another name for analytics in today's world is called big data, which is unstructured information. So in business, you would have structured information, which you would use as business intelligence tools. And now there is a huge unstructured data in terms of Twitter feeds, in terms of Facebook updates and things like that, which there are companies which take all the data and analyzes what does it mean for an organization. And obviously, the most important step which has taken place in the last 3-4 years is the cloud. Cloud means you don't need to invest a huge lot of money to set up infrastructure. You could just put your application right up on someone else's infrastructure, which may not be even located in your own city, country as well. It could be located anywhere, and from any place, whichever has the internet connection, you can access it. So that's cloud for you. And this is estimated, the SMAC business is estimated to be of $200 billion in few coming years, and it's no wonder all the big companies are going for SMAC. Now obviously, once the basic infrastructure of technology was put in place, a lot of other innovations came into being. Primarily notepads, which became a lighter laptop, iPhones, we all know about it, tablets. So you have various types of tablets that came into being, some 10-inch, 11-inch, 12-inch, 7-inch, and things like that. Most importantly, you didn't need a wire now anymore to talk to each other, for two devices to connect to each other. So wireless communication became the norm and is the norm today. Gesture recognition, some new advanced technologies getting used. Voice recognition and surface technology. That is, this surface can become a touch screen if you want. So therefore, there's a surface technology which is getting used. Another thing that is getting used very frequently now with the new ways of communication is the global positioning system. Although this was put in public for some years, but it's now that it is getting used very frequently. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Foursquare, Snapchat, WhatsApp are just some applications which are taking advantage of all these advent of technology that has taken place. And today, they have become part of our mobile infrastructure, a laptop. I mean, today everyone would have a Facebook account, a Twitter account, WhatsApp, Foursquare, Snapchat would not be that popular in many places, but it's gaining ground. And many such other tools will soon gain ground. More and more tools will come into play. Another thing that has happened over last decade is that the basic questioning of the premise is, why do you need a physical infrastructure to deliver technology to the client? Now, consumerization of technology is one of the most important things that has taken place in the last 7 to 10 years. And one of the most important things that has helped in it is virtualization. So what is virtualization? So virtualization is nothing but creating a virtual version, and it is not limited to virtual computer hardware platform. It is operating system, storage, computer network resources, all of these are getting virtualized. That means there it is there somewhere physical, but I don't need to have one-to-one mapping of that physical. So on a single machine, I can have maybe 30 servers, maybe 40 servers and things like that. Obviously, the first starting point was in data centers, and therefore it is being highly practiced in data centers, and then it has gone beyond it. So it is abstraction of physical hardware to create large aggregated pools of logical resources of CPU, memory, disk, file storage, networking, applications. So this is the definition of virtualization. But for a layman or someone who knows technology limitedly, is that one big box able to do many things and able to deliver a lot of server capability, memory capability, hardware, storage capability very easily on the fly. The most important word is as you go along. So today you need two servers, and let's say tomorrow you need another two. If in good old times you would have to wait 4 weeks, 6 weeks to get those two servers and then take it in the data center, set it up. But in the age of virtualization, that happens on a click of a button. So as a business, you are ready to get four servers immediately as and when you want. And let's say you decide to retire the application. You say, I have a better application, I don't want to use it. Now all these four servers can be removed and reused somewhere else. That's the biggest advantage what we have got from virtualization. It's on the go, infrastructure ready. And that has led to mushrooming of applications, mushrooming of usage, communication speed has gone up, and our life is what it is today. So obviously once virtualization took place, the next important place was cloud, which is cloud computing. So you distributed your computing over the network, and it means ability to run a program or application or many connected computers at the same time without necessarily having an infrastructure close to you. And as I explained before, you can scale out without affecting the end user. As an end user, I don't care whether it is in some data center or on cloud. It should be made available to me if and when I want to use it. And cloud computing has helped in that. Therefore, it is called revolutionary changes in technology. And more things have come into play, although we have not seen its consumerization to that extent, but it is on the way. For example, 3D printers. So now instead of having a standard printer, you have 3D printers which will print out whatever we need in 3D form. So it will have depth, height, width, breadth. Driverless cars, no longer a dream. In US, on trial basis, Google has launched a driverless cars, and there are many companies which are on it. It just works. Automated car parking and retrieval. So you have technology where you park your car, it tells you once you enter the parking lot, where is the space in this parking lot now for you to park your car. You can go there, park your car, and then once you enter back to retrieve your car, it guides you to it. So it means you no longer have to remember where your car was parked. The technology in your hand guides you to your car and you can easily take it away. You have robot-driven production lines, which is something some years back it has started and it is just going on. Drone-delivered packages. We have heard latest that the pizzas are getting delivered through a drone. So that is soon going to be a reality as we go along. Importance of information technology. So this is some, we have discussed last few slides, the advent of technology, how technology evolved from a huge machine requirement to something which we are able to do on the cloud. It is virtual. You don't need to touch and feel it. It is there. It is there somewhere and it still works for us. Now we will get into the area how this all adds together, and it is very important from any business purpose that we use it for. So what is information technology? Let's start at the basics. It is development, design, study, implementation, and management of computer related information. It is use of computer hardware and software to manage information. And therefore, what is information? Information is something which adds value to us, gives us an idea of where we are, and helps us to go where we want to go. Internet. Internet is also called gift of God. And then IT is a main enabler in business process reengineering, and we'll just get into details of it. So what is the advantages of information technology? So the advantages that we have today is virtualization, which we discussed, that there is no need of anything physical. It is there, it exists somewhere, and we are able to use it. Globalization. So because it is virtualized, you need not have your physical infrastructure in a specific country, specific location. You could spread it across the globe, wherever it was cheap, wherever it was easily made available. And therefore, your application can be accessed throughout the globe. Communication, it has just opened the door for communication. Today, hardly any government will be able to stop anything on the internet. It will be made available from one source or the other. Cost effectiveness. Because of virtualization, today there is an advantage of cost. You don't need to have dedicated data centers, invest huge sum of money into servers, and then see if the business works and earns for you for getting the cost out of that server. It is, you can just go on the cloud, set up your server, get your business going, and if it works, then you expand it again over the cloud, and if it does not, then you can just come out of it by only putting a small amount of money as compared to the large investment which you would have done in good old days. New jobs. This has of course led us to get new jobs. So you need a cloud architecture, you need someone to manage all that stuff. Security that has come into play because of cloud and virtualization. So it has led to creation of new jobs for everyone. Now we'll just delve into virtualization a bit more, because virtualization and cloud are really the key things that we are seeing today, which is helping us to take advantage of information technology. And because it is so easily available and is helping us in a big way, it also presents itself a new challenges for us in terms of security, and therefore would be very important from a compliance point of view. That's the reason why we are getting into more details about it. So virtualization started with hardware virtualization. That means you were combining various servers into one server and giving it on demand. But now it has moved beyond it. Now we have desktop virtualization. That means you would only have a screen and a small machine component which connects to your server, and your entire desktop comes on that screen. You don't need to buy a different computer or a laptop to access your desktop. Software virtualization. Now we have moved beyond hardware, so you could have an operating system level virtualization. That means you could have various applications working on the same operating system installed on the same server. Application virtualization and service virtualization. So you could create a service. For example, you want to know the stock market rates and what is the movement there. You could write a service and keep it on the cloud, and other applications would use your service and display the rates as they want. So you don't need to write the whole rates program, get it from somewhere and display it. You could just get it from someplace without knowing how it is getting done and use it. Memory virtualization. So imagine you are buying a software and you have kept a dedicated memory for it. Because of its huge usage, the memory is getting used, and then there is no way it will be able to perform at that level. Now in virtualization, you can extend that memory with a click of a button. Unlike old days where you would have to buy a physical memory, replace it, and that would have its own limitations. Beyond certain things, you cannot extend the memory. But in today's time of virtualization, there is unlimited memory available to you to use whenever you want to use. Globalization. With this whole development that has taken place, we have, I think, gone over the barriers of language and geographical boundaries. As I said, today it's very difficult for any government to put a restriction on what you can access and what you can see. They may try to do somewhat. They are successful in many cases, but still there are other ways to still get the information, and information will come to you. Now, this has led to captive development centers in India by leading MNCs. Now, various MNCs who would not come into India to set up their infrastructure, because of globalization, because of easy and smart labor being available in India, have set up development centers in India, resulting into job creation for all lot of us, where there's more work for us to do, and therefore our standard of living has gone up. Project management, maintenance, BPO, technical support, research are the areas where MNCs and other global giants are setting up centers in India, and they're using our Indian skilled workforce to deliver those services to their clients across the globe. Follow the sun workflow. So follow the, because of globalization, virtualization, cloud, what has happened is, if a work has been done by a center in US, and once they finish their work at 6 o'clock and they have to go home, that same work can be given to a center in, let's say, Bangalore, India, and the work continues. And once the India time is over, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the evening India time, the same work is handed over back to the US center to continue on the work and deliver to the client. So what it means is that 24/7, 365 days a year, the work can continue, and as a consumer, you will keep getting services the way you want without looking at the time zone, without really worrying about that it would take 4 business days or 5 business days, because the work is going on 24/7. There's another concept which has come because of this virtualization, which is follow the moon workflow. So you are a company, you have set up a system and you use it during the daytime. Now what happens, the system is idle, the space is idle during the evening. Because of the advantage that I can outsource this investment to other players, I can have a different set of work and a different set of client to use the same infrastructure in the night. Therefore, follow the moon workflow concept has come. So cloud computing, we have discussed it in detail, but again, a quick one, better server utilization, dynamic scalability. So as I said, on the click of a button, you can improve, increase the number of servers, memory, things like that. Shortened development life cycle, because just imagine, in the past, if you needed a server, you needed to wait for 4 to 6 weeks. Now it's just available to you nearly at the click of a button. So let's say 1 or 2 days. Definitely it shortens the development life cycle, because the servers are there, you're not waiting for it. You can start work immediately. You have testing areas which can be developed, and whatever the application systems and the softwares you need are easily available. You can use it, close it and move ahead. And therefore this is also leading to reduced implementation time. Most importantly, it shifts the focus from capex to opex. That means I pay for what I use. I don't need to invest huge right now. And that has led to huge business benefits, because imagine if I were to, let's say, set up a data center for my new company, I would have to invest maybe 2 crores or 3 crores. And here with 10 lakhs or 12 lakhs or 15 lakhs a month, I'm able to start immediately, check out my business and see if it's growing, invest further, else scale it down and do the minimum investment that is required month on month, which is my operating expense, instead of investing 2 or 3 crores at the starting and maybe more. So this has therefore led to lot of benefits to an organization, because they don't need to block their money initially or invest a huge amount now. They can get into business quickly, they can test the waters, and then if it is successful, you move ahead with it. And therefore it has come in various forms. So one of the form is software as a service. Salesforce.com is a good example of software as a service, where the application Salesforce, so it's for Salesforce related, where it maps your leads, meetings, daily contact report and things like that. It's on the cloud. You buy the license as an organization and you give it to your people, your sales people, who can start using it from tomorrow. All you need is an internet connection and the license to use that application, and therefore it's being given as a service. So you don't need to invest a huge amount of money to buy servers or buy the application, test it out for yourself and modify it. It is available, you can modify it on the go and you can start using it very fast. utility computing. So many computing you can do much faster. Web service, as I mentioned, one of the web services, let's say some, as an organization, you want to give temperatures of various cities as a service. So you build up, you tie up with all the forecasting agencies, you get the temperatures across the country, across the globe if you want. You give them the protocol, they use the protocol, accesses, and whichever sites needs to put the weather forecast service to its consumer, they want to give it to them, they just have to use it and they are able to do it. So they don't need to invest a huge time and effort to find out how they will be able to give weather forecast to their customers. It's available, they just have to pick it up. Similarly, stock market trades, very common service which is available on the web. You just buy those services, give it to your clients, and the clients can see the prices of the stocks which they want to see. Platform as a services. So now from SaaS we have moved to PaaS, which is platform as a service. You give the entire platform as a service. So I create a Windows environment for you, an Apple environment for you, and give you the entire environment as a service. So you don't need to set up anything. You have it as a service, you build applications on it, and you're ready to go live with it. Managed service provider. So again, I manage the whole thing. You don't even need to manage it. Everything is available to you. I just give it to you, you use it. And once you have used it and you don't want to use it more, tell us, we close it. So that's how MSP works. Communication. Now, the whole information technology has changed the way we communicate. So we had huge technological innovations coming in the area of communications. Internet is one of them. World Wide Web, www. Emails. Then messages came, which you could combine with text, some with images, now with sound as well, and video as well. What has this led to? This has led to work from home scenario. So many people who don't need to travel a lot, they can be at the home, they can be in a different country as well, and work there and deliver what they're supposed to deliver. This has also opened up a lot of space in learning, in education sector. So you have web-based learning applications, websites, chats, forums. You need to ask something. You have multiple forums available to ask. You can go through someone's history of those forums. Already some questions will be answered. And this helps you to be on top of many things, which otherwise would have taken you months, if not years, to get there. Now, obviously, with all this came the benefit of cost. So, impact of globalization we have discussed, virtualization and communication. All this has led to reduction in cost for any organization. And therefore, because the cost has reduced, you have high return on investment. And you could soon do a virtual desktop infrastructure. You don't need physical infrastructure necessarily. Free availability of GPS time. And cloud computing leading from CapEx to OpEx model. So you don't need to worry about capital investment, you just need to worry about paying for what you use. And this has helped business in a big way. And as we discussed, it has led to creation of new jobs, especially in India. So you have computer programmers now, system analyst, hardware engineer, software professionals. Because you're going to use database, you have database administration, technical support, and because of the advent of World Wide Web, Internet, you have specialized skills like web designers, 3D animation designers, so more animation work, which is very complex, but because again of the benefit of cloud virtualization, you have a requirement for 3D animation designers, network and system administrators, technical writers, security experts. And finally, a lot of work for mobile app developers, whether on iOS, on Android, or on Windows platform. So more and more, as we go along, there will be more requirement for those kind of people because of the advent of mobile computing. So now we've seen how IT has evolved, what is the utility of IT, how it has helped us as a country, as an organization, and therefore we'll go to look at the issues and the challenges that we face while using this technology. So what has happened? Because of virtualization, globalization took place. because of globalization, the physical control has reduced. And because the physical control has reduced, to manage infrastructure which is spread across the globe, which is very difficult to reach, but only reaching through networks and things like that, the capability to manage it has gone a change from the past. In the past, it was there in front of you, the physical servers, the physical infrastructure. You could go there, open it, see what you're doing. Here, it's there somewhere on the cloud, and to use it, to be very careful and find out what is happening, you need a different set of capability. Therefore, there's more learning required and new type of job creation that is taking place. More than that, because it is changing so fast and it has changed a huge lot, it has become very complex. To manage such kind of infrastructure is no longer easy. From a consumer point of view, it has given us tremendous benefit. But from an IT management point of view, it has become very complex. So imagine your server is lying in Singapore, or your application which is hosted there. The backup is happening in US, and the second backup, FAR-DR, is in Australia. Now, how do you ensure that all three of them are in sync? What you want to delete in Singapore has got deleted in US and in Australia. Where if they have not got deleted, then what is the risk that is taking place? It's really getting complex. Security issues in IT management, because it is getting complex, there's a huge security issue that is emerging from there. Today, to manage users from where you're getting traffic and things like that, you're so much dependent on other applications to tell you all this information and to manage it. You need a different kind of mindset to manage it. You're going to get hacked, or people will try to bring your website down. It looks at a security issue has become very different. You don't know who's getting there. You're dependent on third party provider to do the physical control of the data center and things like that. Hacking, we've discussed. I mean, it's just happening every day. If anyone feels that they are not vulnerable, then I'm sorry, they are in a different paradigm. Every one of us today are vulnerable. As a consumer also, we are vulnerable. Our mobile phone can be hacked, our laptops can be hacked, our desktops can be hacked. We have to be very, very careful. Data loss. We have a form of malware which controls your data, and they ask money to release the data. You can lose your data in a big way. If your server crashes, if your laptop crashes and you've not backed it up, you could lose your data. So there are ransomwares which ask you money, obviously, when they take control of your computer. You could lose it because it has crashed, irrespective of the ransomware. And if you have not taken proper backups, your data is lost. And data is one loss, cannot be retrieved. Virus attacks. Because of so much proliferation of the software, the virus is so easy to come on your laptop, desktop, or servers, or on your network. And that attack can cripple your laptop, remove data, take your personal information, and use it somewhere. Very, very difficult. Intellectual property issues. So intellectual property rights, because data is so easily available, information is so easily available, you can easily copy it, modify it. That patent, trademark, copyrights is leading to huge intellectual property issues. We have examples of big companies having fights. So Apple Incorporation is fighting with Samsung Electronics. A lot of legal cases related to design of smartphones and tablet computers. In some countries, Apple is winning. In some countries, Samsung is winning. But no one has clear idea about who's winning globally. So someday you read in newspaper, Apple has won some lawsuit. In some other day, in the same newspaper, Samsung has won some suit. So it's really getting more and more complex. I need not go further. We have a good example of the same in our Indian context of Satyam scandal, where the accounts was manipulated using the system, information technology, and even the auditors approved it. And then it came out that it was a scandal of a big sort, and the company had to be taken over for managing it well. Increasing use of social networking sites, and therefore that gives them power for branding and promotion. Now, branding and promotion is good, but it is getting invasive. The social sites know who your contacts are, who your friends are, what are you doing. It also raises the potential doubt of stalking. So people stalk you at a personal level stalking, and companies stalk you for their campaign and promotion. So if I know you have gone to Germany, for example, for a short holiday, and I have some product of insurance, let's say, travel insurance, which I can sell you, so I will just push messages to you to buy that insurance product and things like that. So it is just a huge area of concern. WikiLeaks, we know Edward Snowden, who was a CIA employee. He leaked some information about the US government, whatever they had captured, which led to huge embarrassment to many countries, including US. Now, on one hand, it says about openness. On the second hand, the embarrassment which it causes the country which collected those information. What is right, what is wrong, very difficult to say. From national security point of view, it could mean a different thing. And from a consumer point of view or as an individual point of view, it could mean a very different thing. Online banking and ATMs. So technology has helped us do online banking, ATMs. Sitting at home today, we can do a lot of transactions which 10 years back was unheard of. Now with this ease came a lot of frauds along with it. And today, banks and financial companies have to be one step ahead to try and reduce the frauds as much as possible. We have phishing and other things to get your information and use it, and banks have to just move ahead and try to reduce these frauds. As an individual, we also need to understand when we are using and passing information, personal information, in a non-secured way, whether it's right or wrong, and help them to avoid frauds, which is in the benefit of us. Cyber attacks have gone up. Phishing, which is trying to create the same page and get your personal information, is on the rise. We are seeing lots and lots of unsuspecting people getting emails, getting access to something where they think it has come from a genuine source, and they are sharing their information. And due to the sharing of information, they are opening themselves up, they are getting themselves vulnerable to attacks and misuse of that information. Trojan horses. How easy it is for us to download a free app or a free application on the laptop or desktop. The moment we do that without knowing the source from where it is coming, we download programs which collect information about you. So imagine you have downloaded a program which has one of the Trojan horse programs, and when you are accessing your bank account, you are putting your username and password, the program is collecting that information and sending it to a third party. How easy it would become for that third to access the same bank, use your credentials, log in, and make a transaction where you have no control over it. Very, very tough. And therefore, my request to you is be very careful when you're downloading programs or when you're giving your personal information anyway. You should not give your personal information on the web to anyone. That's the most important thing. RFID. So remote frequency device, it's fantastic use. You go to a store, you come close to something, it alerts you, you can track things, but it is getting abused in a big way. So you pass, let's say, through a mall store and they have an RFID device, they realize you are close, they will send messages on your phone, abuse. But of course, if there's something useful for you, it is used to you. Very difficult to draw a line, but it's very, very misused, and one has to be very careful when agreeing to use RFID for communication. Now, all this thing has led to huge complexity for a business on license and maintenance. Today, when you buy a software, you don't know its licensing policies, or you think you know, but please go through those 40 pages of a legal agreement and you will realize you hardly know what you're buying and the license. And then you use it for some other reasons, you're misusing that license, and that can open you up for a lot of legal trouble and paying money for it. So my request is be very careful on what licenses you're using and where it is applicable, what are the limitations and things like that, because it's so easy to get distracted with it and not realize what you're doing. We've already discussed ransomware. So cyber extortion is nothing but ransomware. Information theft is taking place. Online frauds are on the increase. Your identity is getting changed. So your email ID and password, once it is available to someone, he can easily change the password and you lose access of your emails. You don't know where it is. And you can, it's very difficult to get it back to you. Children, if they are not explained on how to use web and the mobile applications which are there on their mobiles, it can lead to child exploitation and online stalking. There's a technical and business risk in cloud computing, which we have already discussed, and that needs a really strong service level agreements with the provider. You have to keep pace with technology. Technology is changing so fast that some people get technophobia because of the speed of change. What is what your master at today, maybe in 1 year or 1.5 year, that would change, and you have to get into new areas and master it again. Very difficult. A lot of people are worried about it. Job redundancy for legacy platform supporters, downsizing, outsourcing are other areas and challenges. But technology is now pervasive in all aspects of our business and life. Social media usage, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp have changed our life. On the business side, virtualization, globalization has really changed the way we do business, and it is all pervasive. So we cannot run away from that fact. And now that brings us an end to this first chapter of IT compliance. We have the final topic, which is for self-assessment. So there are some questions on what we have discussed. This is for you to test yourself up, and the book which will be provided from the college will help you get little more detail into it. And these are some questions which you can check yourself, self-assess yourself, where you are, and have you understood the concept behind it, and things like that. So follow the sun, follow the moon, etc. So with that, we come to the end of chapter 1. Thank you for your time, and good luck.